You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To begin, can you give us a rundown on the study you conducted about how stable housing impacts child well-being?
So we're getting internationally now a lot more evidence about the importance of the first 1,000 days or the early years on kids' long-term development. And most of kids, most of the time they have as little ones is that spent at home. So housing is incredibly important in terms of their picture for long-term development. And we also know in Aotearoa, we have very high percentage of our household income gets spent on housing compared with other countries, despite the fact that the quality of our houses is actually pretty low. And so what we decided to do is we used some data from the Growing Up in New Zealand study. And so there's nearly 7,000 children that we look at. And we look at their housing tenure or what type of housing they were living in when they were babies, and then map their well-being over time through to 12 years of age. So we look at from 2 to 9 years, their social and emotional development. And then at 12 years of age, we look at data that kids have told the study themselves about their quality of life.
So how do children who start their lives in public housing fare when compared to their peers in privately owned homes?
So initial or at 2 years of age, we see quite big differences. So these kids, well, differences in the more negative measures, I should say. So they have greater behaviour problems, these sorts of things. But over time, what we see is a convergence. And so by the time they get to 9 years of age, the differences are a lot smaller. And at 12 years of age, when we ask how they see their own quality of life, it's pretty much the same. We do also use a measure of pro-social behaviour, or how kind and caring these children are. And those when we look at that measure, it's the same across kids' development, no matter what housing phenotype they started in.
So what are the aspects of public housing that impact children's well-being at that stage of their life?
Three pathways here. I think there's a financial aspect to it in terms of the fact that rent's capped and it gives a financial security to families. And other research I've done shows that that has a positive impact on parents' ability to parent. So they have more engaged parenting when financial stress is lower. I think there's a quality aspect. There's public houses, particularly when this data was collected, were of a slightly better quality than the equivalent houses that these families would be able to afford in the private rental market. And that has a positive effect on the family functioning as a whole if the house is warm, but also on children's health outcomes. And there's also a security of tenure that happens in public housing. So families can have that sort of security that they can stay where they are. And that's beneficial for the family as a whole as well.
Are there any other factors outside housing that have an impact on child well-being, particularly towards the later stages of their development?
Yeah, so the other factors at that stage is definitely to do with relationships. So relationships, this is with the associations that we found, relationships with the important adults in their lives, so parents and teachers. Bullying was a big factor that affects kids' reported quality of life. So the more often they were bullied, the lower their quality of life. And interestingly, time outdoors as well. So the more often kids were outside, the higher they reported their quality of life.
You mentioned this a little bit earlier, but how does New Zealand fare when it comes to child well-being and providing housing for tamariki, especially compared to other OECD countries?
Yeah, we have lower rates of public housing, so 4% in New Zealand versus about 7% in the OECD. And so that means there's a large group of families that are facing disadvantages for various reasons that don't have access to public housing, and instead they're on the private rental market, which has its own challenges. We have some lower sort of protections for tenants and things like that, and so there's a really substantive group of families that face very insecure and poor quality housing in New Zealand.
Are there any examples of public housing models in other countries that have also led to positive developmental outcomes for children?
There's different studies on different aspects of housing. I think the thing with housing is so context dependent, and that's why research in Aotearoa is important, because each society's got different ways of structuring both housing support but also social service support, and different ways families support each other and different ways families live. But I think consistently across the evidence, the fact is that if housing is secure, if it's of a high quality and is affordable, then that really supports kids' development.
So lastly, what steps do we need to take here in New Zealand to improve outcomes for children who grow up in public housing?
I think that we really just need to be supporting families as best we can. Across, there's never a silver bullet when it comes to helping families, but I think providing adequate income, whether that comes through employment or whether that comes through social support, is really important so that families have that security to be able to parent properly and to have give kids the necessary things they need for life. I'm always passionate in talking, as my research as a whole, about decreasing stress for parents, whether that's financial stress or stress in terms of engaging with government agencies, and having a security around life. That's really important for families too.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.